kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
That I'd like to share with you, and we're calling this Faith Accepts God as He Is. Faith accepts God as He is. I think we're learning so much about our faith, our salvation in Christ, aren't we? But one of the things that you soon have to learn is that when you walk with God, you realize that He doesn't change. He always has been and He always will be. And we have to learn about God, His ways. We learn the doctrine of God, His existence, and so on. The holiness of God, the omnipotence, the omnipresence of God. These are all things that we continue to learn about, that He reveals Himself in His Word. And we soon discover that God doesn't change in what He decrees, what He has set forth. He doesn't change His word. Everything that is revealed of Him in the revelation of His word, God doesn't change. He is what He is. He always has been. He always will be. There is no change in Him. There is no blemish, no defilement. There's no sin. He's absolute purity. And because He is what He is, this is why He has chosen that we believe upon Him by faith. And that faith has to learn quickly to accept God as He is. And this, of course, is why He sets the demands of discipleship. He tells us, of course, to think about, to sit down and consider the cost. Consider what it is that you want. Consider that when you put your hands to the plough, there's no looking back. When you spiritually say farewell to your family, your loved ones, there's no going back. When you say that I want to be separated unto God, unto holiness, there's no going back. These are all things that God will work and He will not compromise on. Even though we may want to, or we may have problems with God, God will never compromise on the costs of discipleship, what He has set forth, and what we're learning in the deeper life. Now, that might sound a bit scary. It might sound extremely challenging. But God knows what He's doing. And we have to learn that what God is doing in our lives, both individually and corporately, He doesn't get wrong. Every trial, every test, every delay of our faith to the manifestation of faith, God doesn't get it wrong. And this is why many are challenged. And sadly, some no longer want to continue to walk with God because they never considered that God says what he means. We have this idea, and particularly when one first gets saved, that somehow God is going to give in to what I want. And of course, we know that children try that with their parents. And this is why it is important, even with parents with children, that if you say no, then you mean no. And vice versa, if it means yes. Because this is how God works with us. And thank God that he does. Because you soon begin to learn where you stand. You know that God says what he means, and you are not going to be able to change him. You cannot change God's will that he has set forth in the Word of God. Let's have a classic example. We know that we are facing the end times, and we are seeing now the falling away, and it's rapidly digressing. We are seeing now traits in humanity that we didn't see even 10, 15 years ago. We are seeing more oppression and depression, more sickness, confusion, fear, you name it. It's all rapidly getting worse. But with God, you don't get any of that. With our faith, our belief in Almighty God, you find he is absolutely firm, resolute, faithful to all that he's doing, to all that he has said, and all of the revelation of him revealing himself. And this is why, because faith accepts God as he is, this is one of the main challenges why at times some go back. Because it is accepting God's ways. And in our flesh, we do not like God's ways. And wish to God that more saints in the house of God was honest with the Lord with regard to that. That least they would say, Lord, I don't like this in the flesh. This challenges me. This is not what I like. I'm finding this hard or difficult. You see, God so often is trying to get us to these places in our trials and tests, to open ourselves up to him, to tell him that this seems impossible. Everything within me wants to do completely the opposite to what you require and want of me in your word. And this is where, when we talk with God in that way and we're open and honest with him, this is where the mercy and grace of God comes. We know the Apostle Paul did this. Why do you think it's recorded there? He called on God to make his walk trial easier with the revelation and that what he was receiving and going through. He wanted that to lift. Can I have a break, in other words? This is what he was crying out to God, and he sought God on the third time. He learnt, God said, my grace is sufficient. I cannot change, I cannot alter what I have decreed for you. This is the way you must go. Because in God's infinite wisdom and sovereignty, he didn't make a mistake over that man. And that's why it's there. And God does the same with us. And this is why I'm calling this teaching today, Faith Accepts God as He Is. Now let's turn to a familiar story in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I want to take it up, we'll go from verse 48 in John chapter 6, and we'll read it through to the end, to 71. And here we've got a story that's revealed where, did you know that Jesus had many disciples? We tend to think that he just had 12, which he did. But he had many more following him. They all said they will follow him. They will leave all for him. They'll lay their lives down for him. He had many followers. And let's take it up from verse 48, because he has to challenge these followers, these disciples, and he challenges them with the word. And they become offended by what he says here. And he says, I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. So you can imagine their minds are beginning to think, whatever is he talking about? He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, and he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, at this point, they're beginning to think, well, this man's talking about cannibalism. We don't eat human flesh. This is offensive. And then it goes on. And the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You are, you see, they're disciples, they're followers of the Lord. They said they love him. They've been following him all these months and so on. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, it's bad enough for them to be hearing, a lot of these are Jews, so this is offensive to them, putting themselves under the law. Not only eating human flesh, but he's now talking about drinking blood, human blood. Wherefore, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. They're still not getting it. They're still bound by the law. The blood that they understand is the blood that is shed from sacrifice for the remission of sins. But they're also aware that there is life in the blood. That is man's life. And here he is, he's talking about, we drink this. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, and he who eats this bread will live forever. Now you would have thought at that last verse, verse 58, you would have thought that he's referring to the bread, the manna in the wilderness, that they would start to twig, to understand. But they don't. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" You see, they're trying to understand. They're trying to use their own effort, their own intellect. They're not receiving this by faith. You see, that principle of Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the word. They're not hearing. They're trying intellectually to understand this. Then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. He said to them, "Does this offend you?" So even the disciples, the 12, are finding this difficult. "What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." He's now beginning to explain. He's trying to correct this confusion. You see, we're going to see in a minute a difference in heart between the disciples, the 12, and the rest of all these disciples that followed him who go back. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And of course he's speaking also of Judas. So it comes back again to faith, believing. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless he has been granted to him by my Father." So he's now showing that he has these disciples, he's got many followers, but he's saying you will only stay if the Father has called you from the foundation of the world. Now, you would have thought that that statement, that would challenge them. They would think to themselves, "Well, whatever this is, I don't understand it all," or so forth, "but I'm staying. Because that's a sign God has called me." You'd have thought that they would at least grasp that. And it goes on, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.'" And there you find the difference. They realize there's nowhere to go. They are accepting God, even though they don't understand it all, but their faith is believing, trusting that God will do what he will do. That in time they will understand these great spiritual truths. But there were others who wouldn't have that. And so it goes on, it says, and also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So there is a revelation to their faith. They have been divinely shown that. How do they see that? Because God has called them. You see, it's called predestination and election. Unless God calls, none of us stand a chance. And then he goes on, and Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. So Jesus had already had a revelation. He'd already got a word of knowledge there, what's going to happen before it's even happened, that Judas would betray him. So there we see many disciples went back. They chose not to continue, not to believe, because they were offended. And the reason they were offended, because they couldn't understand. And this is why faith accepts God as he is. We still don't fully understand. We still today, now, don't fully understand. But that principle continues to run through our life until the Lord comes for us. Why? Because we know he has the words of eternal life. We know that he is our Saviour who took our place as that sin bearer. We know that. That is our faith. That is our confession. They are all the things that we accept. And many go back because they try to understand, failing to experience that faith comes by hearing, hearing, not questioning, not analysing, but simply trusting. Often, you know, when presented with great truths and revelation and doctrine, and all the trials that we go through, we want to be intellectually in control. And it doesn't work that way. In fact, when you are in the midst of faith, trusting God, or in the midst of a fiery furnace or a trial or whatever it is, you just might as well throw intellect out of the window. Because it doesn't make sense. You cannot understand. You can't for a while understand why I go through what I'm going through, or why I'm going through this trial. There is obviously a reason, but I don't know. I don't see yet. And we don't in the trial. Because, of course, all the wind and all the flames and all the turmoil is all going on. It's not until we come into the calm, or we find we enter into the centre of the storm, do we then hear the still small voice of God. And this is where we accept God as he is. And we eventually get this, whatever the situation, whatever we go through. And faith accepts God as he is because we are influenced and persuaded of our Father's love. And that he's not going to forsake me. He's not going to let me go under. He won't leave me in this. That is not his nature. That is not his heart. And how do we get that? We know that by reading the scriptures, our doctrine. And so this is where you accept God as he is. Whether we like it or not, and there are times that we have to come before God and we have to have it out. As it says in the scriptures, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. In other words, let us agree. You're having problems, and a lot of your problems is because I'm sovereign, I'm holy, I am God, and that is your problem. But he says, come, let us reason together. Let's work this out. And you know, he does, and he will. That is the walk of a disciple. This is why I'm always so interested, right at the beginning, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God. There, God is revealing himself through the manna, the word. He simply says, God. He doesn't try and say any more. He doesn't start to try and say who he is, where he's come from, who made him, or whatever. He doesn't. He doesn't have to. In the beginning, God. And there he reveals himself to man. And look how he reveals himself. He reveals himself through creation. That's why we like to travel sometimes. We like to go to places or go for walks because we simply look at his handiwork. He reveals himself through man's conscience. Thank God that we have a conscience that he reveals himself to us. God was using your conscience when you came to Christ. We see the revelation of God through his provision. How he provides. We see God through the inspired scriptures. Through that direct revelation of himself to man. We know this because he directly revealed himself to Adam and Eve in the garden. That is a direct revelation. The Apostle Paul had a direct revelation from God on the road to Damascus. He revealed himself, didn't he, through the incarnation of his Son, Jesus Christ. We also have that clear warning in Romans chapter 1, where sinful man has perverted the true revelation of Almighty God. And he's got all these warped and corrupt ideas of what he thinks God is. And he's actually outrightly now denied the existence of God. And this is where we get the idea of atheism. And this is where we see that they, instead of worshipping God, the creator, they worship the creature, worldly things, which is what? Idolatry. And that's why the beast, which is a creature in that sense, will be worshipped, and the mark of the beast. That is the state of man's mind, and morally as well. Because it says, doesn't it, they profess themselves to be wise, but they simply become fools. And not only that, we're told also that they change the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like a corruptible man, such as statues and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's what they do. They believe in all of that. Evolution. That man's evolved slowly from fish through to ape and man. And they believe it. It's the basic teaching, the curriculum in schools. And what does the Bible clearly say? God gave them up to uncleanness because of the lusts of their own hearts, their disobedience. He gives them over, even their bodies between themselves, he says, who change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Gosh, if we're not living in those times now, I do not know what. Why am I stressing that? Because they do not want to accept God as He is. They want to change Him. They want God to accept man's ways in his sin. And because God won't, he is sinless, they turn to other means. And that's what is happening. And we battle with that at times. We find it difficult. So we have to be called from the foundation of the world for this. And this is the mercy and grace of God. And we know if we're called because we'll stay with it. This is something that anchors us, that we know we're on the right course. But let's be clear, Genesis clearly reveals himself as God. And he doesn't try to explain. You see, the understanding of God is when you step out in faith. And that's why we walk by faith. If you want this understanding, then it is a spiritual understanding. And the way we understand is not only saturating our minds and hearts with the word of God and what we hear, but also actively walking by faith. I remind us again of Peter, who got out of the boat and walked upon the water. Okay, he began to let unbelief in, but the fact is, his faith enabled him to understand and experience something supernatural. And that is the principle. And that's why we step out in faith. Because faith is our understanding of God. And not only that, but faith takes you out of your comfort zone. And we don't like that. But remember, faith accepts God as he is. And God very often challenges us and he says, it's coming out of your comfort zone. And we need to be prepared for that. If we need to understand God, his ways, his voice, his leading, his guidance, what he's saying, what he's doing, it comes by faith. As we hear, the faith is the understanding. If it means I'm waiting a month or 5 years, that is the understanding. And with the understanding, he often gives us the grace and the mercy with that, because he knows that cannot be achieved in the natural. He knows that. So we start to understand why faith is so important and why God has chosen faith to be the means of understanding God and his ways. The same as when I read back in John 6. He was talking faith. He was talking spiritual things there. He wasn't talking about literally eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Of course not. He knew what the law said on that. He was talking about this spiritual manna that would sustain and keep God's people. And that's what sustains and keeps you and I. This is what we spiritually feed off, what he was saying here. So this word that we receive by faith means that I'm eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood in that sense, but spiritually. And that's, of course, why we share communion together as that example. I receive the life of Almighty God. I am kept by his life. These are all the spiritual analogies for what? For us to understand by faith. And so everything that you want to know, that you want to understand, is only ever going to come by believing by faith. And very often our faith also means that we come out of our comfort zone. And sometimes coming out of our comfort zone is that God challenges us with faith. Exactly like he did with all those disciples. And they went back. Many of them went back. There were times when the disciples said, "Who can walk this walk? It seems impossible." How often have you thought that? I know I have experienced that. I've experienced that on quite a few occasions. This walk seems impossible. It's just unobtainable. You can't attain to it. Well, of course you can't. Because I'm trying to understand it intellectually. And I never will. This is why we are to put on the mind of Christ, he tells us. We put that on. That's where we have to ask for that. We want that for this very purpose, so that our faith accepts God as he is, and we don't try to alter him or get him to side with us, because he isn't going to. And this is why we see that he offers himself to us. Not only as we look there at his flesh and his blood, but what he's referring to there, he offers himself as that sin bearer. He has to cleanse us. So not only does he have to deal with our sin once and for all, which is cast away from the east to the west, but he continues also to cleanse us. And that cleansing also means healing, deliverance. And that comes by the word of God, which we hear. So it's not only cleaning and cleansing me, but it's also healing me. It's delivering me. It's setting me free. And of course, it teaches us, which we need to be taught in this life. Not only that, but it also guides us as well. So this is all what faith does as we accept God as he is. Because these are some of the basic things he has to do with us. Not only to deal with sin, but to continue to cleanse us and heal us and deliver us, and he has to teach us, and he has to guide us. And we have to accept God knows what he's doing. For example, if we see in John 13 and verse 13, John 13 and verse 13. What does he reveal himself here? You call me teacher and the Lord and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. There we are. He says, I am, that verb to be. I am God. I am God that teaches you. Even though he may use man, gifts in the church and so forth, but that is the principle. I am God that teaches you. And our faith accepts God as he is. And this is why God will highlight sin in our heart. And a lot of that sin is simply we're just not believing as we should be. And thank God that he does highlight this. Because it is a sign he loves us. It's a sign he's working with us. It's a sign he hasn't given up on you. I know it can be difficult sometimes. It seems as though others get away with it and you don't. It seems as though you're being chastised and the others are not being chastised. Or somebody did this to me or hurt me or said lies about me, and look at them, they seem to get away with it. I know what that feels like. Because God first is delivering you in that trial. He's probably getting resentment, anger, or bitterness out of the heart. So before he then deals and judges your enemy, he's going to get out of your confession, your heart, eventually, where you will say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then God will deal with your enemies, which are his enemies also. That is how God works. And I know that one's hard. But faith accepts God as he is because he doesn't get it wrong. Because he loves you, he wants you blameless before he will judge this situation. And he has to do that. Why? Well, I've got a few ideas, but I'm not going to try and work it out. The fact is that God doesn't get it wrong. And God is going to have you right. He's going to have you right in your attitude, your heart, your motive and everything. Well, I will tell you, it is obvious because Jesus had to do the same, didn't he? He came to that place when they put him on the cross. What came out of his words? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he had every right to say, Lord, I am innocent. I have done no wrong. Why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? And so on. No. He was obedient unto death. So there is the principle. His faith accepted God as he is and the wisdom of God who would redeem and raise him up and be the sin bearer for the world. And that same principle works through you and I. Works through those who persecute us, who reject us, or whatever it would be. Yeah, it seems as though I am going through the fire. And you are. For the purpose that no guile comes out of your mouth, but that only blessing and not cursing and resentment and bitterness. That is how God delivers us. And then you find the blessing comes, the healing comes, the deliverance comes. Everything is like suddenly the storm has gone. That's the miraculous working of God. I don't know how he does it, but he is God and he knows exactly what he's doing. And that's why he's all the while teaching us how we approach him. You see, faith accepts God as he is because he's teaching us that he is God. He is sovereign. He does have the final say. Not the devil, not the powers of darkness. And so I find that faith, the faith that we are learning, actually in many ways protects us from God, from that other side of God. It actually is a preservation. It is a blessing. It keeps me right in harmony and fellowship and love with him. Because I've already read to you in Romans 1 the fearful thing that's happening to man. Well, let's finish with something we know very well in Ephesians 2 verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And that gift he gives, and faith accepts God as he is with that gift. And he knows how to work that out in our lives. Brothers and sisters, we are going to come, if we're not already, we're coming to that place where we will say, we will know from the heart and from experience, Father, I can do nothing without you. I'm hopeless. I'm useless. I am utterly, totally dependent on you, for I know nothing unless you reveal. I believe that is ultimately the work God is doing with us in FGA. And I trust also all others around the world who are hearing this teaching as well, that God will do that with you as well. Because that is the goal of our faith. That is what faith accepts God as he is and what he wants to do. Because all the while you are trying to mentally assimilate and work this out, it will bring despondency. It will bring apathy. You will be down. You won't fully enjoy the walk of faith and your relationship with Almighty God, all the while you are trying to intellectually work it out. When we are totally and utterly abandoned upon God, trusting him, that is when we get that understanding that he wants us to have, which is a spiritual understanding. It is God's way and will. You see, there's the difference. And so that when you read the scriptures, when you read the word, you read the promises, you read them in a completely different light. Because you're not always trying to understand. When you see God's blessing or what he's going to do or what he says if you believe, you don't try and intellectually try and work that out. You are seeing a deeper revelation, a deeper truth. You are seeing Christ who's in you, in this word, speaking to you. That's ultimately what this is. This is the Lord speaking to me. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Faith accepts God as he is. and we don't try and change him. We don't try and alter him. We don't try and change our teaching, our doctrine. No, not at all. We don't touch any of it. Our faith simply accepts and receives him as he is the Almighty God. And we believe that he will work that out in our lives, both individually and corporately, and he will work it out in the church as well. Praise God.
Let him in constancy follow.